production.
Welcome everybody to Taking On Sports. I am TD. That is Greg. Greg, how you doing today, man?
I am good. How are you today, sir?
I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Beautiful fall day here in Birmingham, Alabama. Good weekend of football so far. Baseball playoffs started this week. It's that good time of year for sports, man. NBA, NHL right around the corner. It's a great time of year. So let's hop into our football. We'll start as usual. No big NBA trades this week to throw us off. We'll start with the local boys, of course. Alabama goes into College Station and wins a tough one. Ugly game, 26-20 over the Aggies. Got outplayed in the first half. And then the defense really stepped it up second half. You got to give credit Kevin Steele, Nick Saban, and the defensive players, man, against both now Ole Miss and then A&M. Shut them down 3 points each in the second half to clinch these games. Talk about the game yesterday, Greg.
You know, it was – we thought it was going to be an ugly game. It was an ugly game. I mean, that's just what this game has turned into the last couple of years. Took everything. But, hey, we went in to a rough, tough environment. And most importantly, we came out with the win. I mean, and the – you know, I just, like I said, the defense, I love what they're doing. They seem to have that passion, that pride, that energy that just wasn't there for the last couple of years. You know, after Pruitt left, just wasn't there. It was just something missing. And it seems like that's back. Mm-hmm. I mean, they still make mistakes at times, you know, but it's not ever an effort issue. You know that they're giving it all. They're playing hard, and they have a certain pride. They don't want to give up points. We saw that again that second half. I mean, they put it on A&M. I mean, they were getting after Max Johnson like no other. I mean, he looked so frustrated in that second half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple times he got hit, popped up, and looked like he had having words with a lineman about do something.
Yeah. And then, the other thing you'd like to see, too, is, A&M, they front, they shut down a running game. And he said, Jalen, you're going to have to beat us with your arm. And he did it. He mm-hmm. went out there and he put the best game of his career thus far. And he had some receivers that really stepped up for him. Mm-hmm. And I think they're finding some chemistry. He has some confidence in those guys. You know, brought in Jermaine Burton for a reason. He's starting to show why we brought him into Tuscaloosa. I mean, it was.
Yeah, another guy of the career game, Jermaine Burton, three shy of 200 yards receiving. He was talking that shit all game long. He was letting Aggies and their fans know it. Early on, you kind of wanted him. I think early on, I said, man, he needs to shut up after he dropped a kind of a big third down, but he backed it up the rest of the game. He made some tough catches, made some big plays, two big touchdowns. Yeah, like you said, he really showed why we thought we were getting something from Georgia there in the transfer. Isaiah Bond had a big game. You mentioned Milroe, career game, throwing the ball. And like you said, it's huge for his confidence, the offense confidence, just the fan base's stress level and confidence going forward when they can hold us to, 20 yards rushing total? When you take out sacks, maybe. And we can go in and throw the ball and win in a tough environment. Gets a defense that was very lauded. You know, a lot of five stars on that defense, too. A very athletic front. And a little shout-out to Tommy Rees. He's still, there's still problems. There's still things that we'd like to see. But it seemed like he found a weakness in that secondary that he saw maybe on that Miami game film. And exploited it. They were picking on a certain cornerback. I didn't catch kid's name. Don't embarrass him too much, but they were throwing, they found their matchups a lot in that game, hitting deep balls and intermediate passes. Great game. You mentioned defense, of course. You're right. Nothing to add to that really, except, they found their nastiness again. And that's what Saban talked about in the offseason.
Exactly.
was finding that edge, that kind of meanness to him, and they certainly seemed like it. And it's instead of getting dejected when they give up a big play or a score like they seem to have the past few years, it seems to piss them off, and that's what you miss.
Exactly.
Yeah, those prime era, you know, those early defenses, you know, you think about the 2011 defense or the 15-16 defenses. If they give up a big play or somebody scored on them, it just made them angry. Yeah. Exactly.
It seemed to get back to that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the other thing, too, I mean, you know, lost Malachi Moore for the game. You know, that's a huge loss, the leader of the back end there. And then in past years, they've been like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, guys stepped up, did their thing.
Yeah, great job by the guys filling in. Yeah. And you hope that that's not injury isn't too bad. Yeah. Saban said it was a twisted ankle. I've read high ankle sprain, so hopefully
you never know with ankles. They're all over the place. But
yeah, you would say maybe hopefully keep him out against Arkansas this week, you would think, and then hopefully
back in Tennessee.
Yeah. But yeah, and another, you know, you're happy about the second half. I mentioned that, you know, first half looked sloppy again. Yeah. You know, after, you know, an early mentioned a big, you know, Burton had a third down drop where we had to set a 4-field goal on our opening drive instead of, you know, we were moving.
Yeah.
I think we got what, one other score down 17-10 at half. And A&M was playing better. They were the better team that first half. And
they were.
Credit to the coach and staff for, you know, everyone who's, you know, a lot of people online shouting down this coaching staff, but they've made now big adjustments in two biggest conference games so far.
Yeah, they have. And, a whole different looking team in the second half of both games.
Ability. And, of course, you want to see the team come out on fire to start the game, but it's still huge that they can – make those adjustments and change not just that, but the players' attitudes, you know, that they can come out and not get down by the first half and step up in the second half. And like you said, that defense was just vicious. They were just Max Johnson, like you said, running for his life. And he didn't even have time to run for his life. He just got swarmed. They were just pushing around the Aggie offensive line. Dallas Turner was manhandling dudes.
He had time in the first half, and they adjusted and got after that offensive line in the second half because they were in his face. Like, he had no time that whole second half at all.
Oh, no, yeah. He was dropping back, and as soon as he completed his drop back, he was already, just pushing their linemen into him, too. Like, they were just manned up.
Yeah.
I guess. Still, I was going to say, looking at the negative side, still penalties. Some frustrating ones. Yeah, we had like three false starts in a row at one point. You had the blindside block call on blocked a field goal, took it back for a touchdown, and get a blindside call. And all right, two things on this. One, I think it was kind of a bullshit call. The guy got up beside him and just shoved him. It's not like the blindside block, that's meant to, on those returns, you know, that's meant to kill those where they just kill the guy. That's meant to take those out the game, you know, and save those injuries.
Right. Exactly.
It was a Dallas Turner ran up beside the dude and shoved him, and he fell over.
Yeah. I mean, it was unnecessary because the play was already past him.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
But, I mean, come on, a blindside block, really? Like,
no, that was a bullshit call. Dallas Turner shouldn't have touched him because he was 15 yards behind the play, and our guy had an escort. He was scoring. And that would have put the game, I think,
that was a game right there.
It would have gave us a 14-point lead, and it really would have been just a killer. Like, it killed their momentum. But you like to see the defense, you know, fought back after Jalen threw a pick. We got it right back. Caleb Downs, he's that dude, man. He's only going to get better and better in his career here.
He is.
But, yeah, again, great win for a lot of people that said A&M was, you know, this was their time. They're going to beat them, you know, pronouncing the dynasty over again. Again, like, not saying this means that we're going to live up to, you know, yours and mine prediction of a national championship this year, but – Alabama, first place in the SEC West right now.
Yeah. Hey, they've done. Since that Texas game, you see progress. Mm-hmm. You know, very end of the USF game, it was ugly. But, I mean, the last – when they ran down that last touchdown, they just rushed it up, kept running. That would look decent. Second half of the second half of the Ole Miss game looking decent. Most of the Mississippi State game in the second half yesterday. So, you know, you see progress, you see improvement. That's all you can really ask for.
And on to the next one. Exactly. All right. Moving on to the big game of the day, the Red River Shootout, and it lived up to the name. Oklahoma, Texas, back and forth, and the Sooners pull off a late win. Everybody, you know, so busy asking if Texas was back, forgot to talk about Oklahoma.
Exactly.
picked off Quinn Ewers, two times, forced a fumble somewhere in there.
And that first, 6 minutes was two picks, a fumble.
It looked like Oklahoma might run them off the field. Texas stormed back. Oklahoma stormed back. Texas stormed back from a late deficit. They were down 10 late, took the lead. And then Gabriel marches them right down the field for a last-minute winner. Go ahead.
You know, that OU team, like we had said going into the game, I mean, it's really – no talk about OU at all. It was like everybody was looking at last year and saying, man, they were so bad last year. They got ran off the field in this game. But if you watch OU at all this year, you saw it was a different team. They're much better. And really haven't played anybody, and that's the biggest thing is who have they played. But in those games where they hadn't played anybody, they were doing what they were supposed to do. It looked a lot crisper, and they did it. They did the thing. Now they're a top. They jumped up to number 5 or 6 in both polls. So, I mean, they jumped pretty high there. And the thing is, the way that the Big 12 is looking, we're likely to see this matchup again in December.
Yeah, for sure. It does not look like they have any serious challengers.
No.
I think my sleeper team, Baylor, just looked bad. We talked about Texas Tech maybe playing spoiler. No. It doesn't look, TCU's obviously in a rebounding year.
A bad loss to Iowa State and got dominated. And then on Friday night, the team that I thought was going to be a contender, K-State, that's a bad loss. Losing to Okie State.
against an Okie State team that's just not looked good this year. Like you said, Oklahoma jumped up to 5th in the AP poll, 7th in the coaches poll. A good win for the Sooners, and we got to look at them as a legit playoff contender now.
They could easily run the table, at least go into that Big 12 title game, more than likely a rematch against Texas. But there's a good chance they go into that game undefeated if they keep playing like they have for the first 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, sure. And that would be a first, right? Those two meeting in the Big 12 title game, or have they done that?
I think they did a couple years ago.
They did. They did. Let's see.
Was it 2018?
It was a... Let's see. They did it after, in the 10-man years. 2018, they beat Texas by 12. Kyler Murray led Sooners.
I would expect to see that one again. And, I mean, OU comes in that game undefeated, Texas – it's just with the one loss OU, I mean, it definitely should have for sure playoff implications.
Because Texas is not out of it. They got the Bama win in there on the resume, and this is not a bad loss by any stretch.
Not a bad loss at all.
Let's see, other big games on the day. Let's talk about a night one. Notre Dame goes into Louisville and the Cards get them. The magic of, I don't think it's Papa John's Stadium anymore, but wherever the Cardinals play. Big win for the program. First year coach Jeff Brohm. You know, they started 5-0. Didn't look pretty in a couple of those games. Struggled last week against NC State. People were like, oh, they're going to be overmatched. I think I thought the same. Yeah. And they just kind of bullied Notre Dame all night.
They ran all over Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
Shut down. They completely shut down the Notre Dame offense.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I mean, it wasn't really – after 7-7, they dominated the rest of the game. Like, it wasn't any question. Like, there was no time without them in. You know, I expect Notre Dame to come back. They got dominated. Like, they didn't – they took the will away from them. And now they're, 6-0 on the year there, quietly having a heck of a season. It's very under the radar. And they're starting to get a little love now after that win last night. But, you know, that's much in his first year, Jeff Brohm, he's doing a heck of a job. Came home, and he's doing it. And then the other Brohm is the offensive coordinator, so it's a family affair. Came back to Louisville.
Brian Brohm, right?
Brian Brohm.
Oh yeah, no, they got a stud at running back there.
Oh, he put up yards yesterday.
He had, let's see, where was that at? Jordan, 143 yards, 2 scores. They made Hartman look bad. Big
first time he looked terrible all year. Like he looked average.
Terrible. Yeah, just making bad throws, just rush, getting hit a lot. You know, same thing, like just getting pushed around that line.
Mm-hmm.
And now Louisville, you know, they got still some tough, you know, games from the schedule.
But nothing that says not winnable. Like,
no, certainly not. Yeah.
They could run the table and it wouldn't shock me.
Looking at their schedule, they could absolutely run the table. They don't have to play Florida State, so, you know, maybe they can get in and play an ACC title game.
Yeah, very well. And you have said it. That was your team plan for Florida State. Mm-hmm. So, kudos on that so far. It's looking good because that's a good team there. But, yeah, I mean, that ACC, still a little tougher than what folks thought.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that. ACC soccer.
We'll talk about that later. We'll save that for the end of this review because it's its own thing. You see, another ranked matchup. LSU went into Missouri and came back. A good comeback win for them. Poor Missouri. They've had in these games where they trying to beat these SEC big boys and just late cannot pull it out. Yeah. 32 second half points for the LSU Tigers. To get a late win, they got a pick six that sealed it late, despite a great effort by, is it Brandon Cook?
He had a good game.
Yeah. 411 yards.
Yeah. I mean, the game was exactly what you thought it was going to be, a shootout from start to finish. Not much defense. I guess, you know, LSU had some clutch plays at times to get the win, but that defense is still a mess.
Yeah,
thank you.
Got to worry about that D if you're an LSU fan.
Yeah,
I mean Jaden Daniels, another outstanding game. You know, 259, 3 touchdowns through the air, and what a couple big time on the run. Where's his running stats? He also ran for 130 yards and a score. Yeah, that offense is fine. You know, Brian Kelly's got the offense rolling there in Baton Rouge, but that defense.
Yeah. If they didn't have those two losses, and if they didn't have those two losses on the season, he might still very well could be if he continues with this pace, but he'd definitely be in the Heisman hunt because that man's putting up stats every week.
Yeah, every week. Let's see. Other big games I see talked about. Maryland will not be beating Ohio State this year. They had them. Good first half. It was tied at halftime.
And I'm 10-0 quick.
Yeah, Maryland up 10-0 quick, and it just seemed to kind of piss off Ohio State because then Rest of the way, Ohio State outscored them 37-7. In a big second half, they just leaned on them. They said, you know, they kind of remembered, hey, we're immensely more talented in this team and we should win.
McCord had a great second half.
Yeah, real great. One of those kind of things like, oh, right, we got Marvin Harrison Jr., we should probably throw the ball to him.
Yeah. They just dominant. You know, second half, it was just no question.
Let's see. Georgia stomped Kentucky. This is kind of the Georgia team everyone's been waiting for.
Yeah, they stick it to Kentucky. Obviously, they've been listening to everybody talking talk about them. Cause and you could – going into the game, you could kind of sense it just because the type of offense that Kentucky runs – is what Georgia's best at stopping. You're knocking out physical Georgia. And they don't have near the talent that the Georgia has. So that wasn't going to work. And Winston's a decent quarterback, but his arm wasn't going to beat Georgia yesterday, especially in Athens. It just wasn't going to happen. Maybe a little worse than I thought it was going to be. I thought maybe they'd score maybe a little bit more and maybe not give up as many points. But, you know, Georgia showed why they're Georgia and why they're the two straight national champions. And for now, they quieted everybody down a little bit.
Yeah, I think the big thing was they had a great first half, a good start. They're up 34-7 at halftime. You know, Carson Beck played the best game in his best game in a Georgia uniform so far. And you said it, you called it last week, and you just mentioned again there, Kentucky's offensive style just plays right in Georgia's hands, and Georgia has the better athletes. So, they could like you said, see that coming. Georgia needed to make a statement. They did. Kentucky just got to regroup. Not the end of the world for them.
I think the Wildcats will be fine. You know, big game this coming up week. I mean, for both teams coming off a loss, see who wants it more. You know, you got Missouri, Kentucky. That should be a very interesting game.
Very interesting. Running through the rest of the top 25, Michigan handled Minnesota. Florida State handled Virginia Tech. USC, overtime. Oh. Over Arizona at home, not even in Tucson.
Overtime
in LA. Arizona's on. They're on the right track. If they can get some athletes there, maybe that move to the Big 12 will help them somewhat. I don't know, but
on the way.
Yeah,
doing some right there in Tucson for sure. I thought maybe they're gonna pull it off there, but.
Couldn't complete the win. Tough loss for them. That USC defense, that's just a ticking time bomb. It's got to bite in the ass here soon. Staying in LA, UCLA gets an upset win over Washington State. Defense just Cam Ward and that Washington State offense just played horribly.
For the first time, they looked terrible. They didn't look good at all. And they didn't. They just looked. He had 197 yards, two interceptions, and not the Washington State that we've seen all year at all. The crazy thing is like when that line came out last week, I guess we should have paid attention more. But I was like, man, there's no way. This Washington State team is looking so good, and they're going into the Rose Bowl. It's not intimidating at all. But man, UCLA was ready for them. They had a good game plan in place, and Chip Kelly had a perfect game plan for it.
I took the Cougars in the picks column on Friday. Yeah. I was like, I'll take them. You know, with 3.5 on the road, and did not end well. But good win for them.
Big win for the Bruins there.
Yeah, absolutely. That puts them at 4-1. That creates that's just a big old log jam in that Pac-12 now. Right behind the big boys.
Yeah.
Let's see elsewhere. Where did my scores go? Well,
Spectrum. You already mentioned my son went out for a second. The North Carolina boy, they're looking good.
They did, yeah. Oh, here we are, yeah. 40-7 win over Syracuse. Drake May over 400 yards. They got a big one of their own next week against an opponent, which we will talk about here in just a second. We'll get to them. Oregon State, a big shootout win of their own, 52-40 over Cal. They're just rolling along since their loss. Ole Miss survived a tough one against Arkansas. Arkansas now four losses in a row. They need to keep the wheels from falling off there. Ole Miss, a couple good bounce backs after the Alabama loss. You know, the emotional win last week, and then didn't let that burn them out, and won a tough one.
Because that Ole Miss Arkansas over the years, it's been a crazy game.
Yeah, that's always been. Yeah, that's the famous seven overtime ones. The fourth and our season. Yeah, that was that 4th and 20 whatever conversion, that crazy one.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a tough series, a wild series, and a good win for Ole Miss. In Laramie, late night primetime in on Fox, the Pokes, Wyoming, upset Fresno State, scored all 24 of their points in the first half and held on for dear life.
Yeah.
Fresno actually had the second longest winning streak in the country at 14 before this loss. So Wyoming, again, tough place to play. I had them in the picks column. They were an underdog.
I had them on a – didn't win any parlays this week, but definitely had them because Laramie's just not a place you can go in and win easily.
Yeah, teams have trouble there, and that coaching staff has that team playing tough.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a good team.
And now, the one ranked team we haven't mentioned that played yesterday, the Miami Hurricanes.
Boy.
An ugly game. But they took control late over Georgia Tech at home in Miami or, you know, wherever they play. And were running out the clock. And then they had a chance to just literally take a knee and let the clock wind down. Instead, they chose to run the ball. They then fumbled the ball. Georgia Tech recovered. And four plays later, Georgia Tech hits a 44-yard touchdown pass to take the lead and win the game.
Yeah. Seconds.
It's... sitting there watching it live, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. When he fumbled, I was like, because I was starting to fall asleep a little bit. And I was he just fumbled that ball. Whoa, trying to wake up.
Yeah, I think I had it on trying to get the kid to sleep. And just maybe not even with the sound on or anything, or just not paying attention to it. It was just kind of like, oh, okay, here they go. But the announcers, I didn't have it on yet, because I remember them saying, like, well, why aren't they taking a knee here? And I was just like, you know, he'll just run up the gut or whatever. And no, fumbled. Just got stripped. And you feel bad for the running back, but why the coaching staff? And Cristobal's done this before. That's the crazy thing. Mario Cristobal did the same thing at Oregon. Could have kneeled it out against Stanford, ran it. They fumbled. Stanford got the ball, scored a winning touchdown. I think I saw he was asked about the game, said, yeah, I probably should have stepped in, told him to take a knee. Like, yeah, no shit. You're the head coach. Like, be aware of the time and the situation. We didn't even mention that in the Alabama game. That was a weird mental thing that could have bit Alabama in the ass. They had a chance to run the clock out at the end on first down. Jalen Milroe throws a bounce pass to a receiver, which I'm told someone told me afterwards that was maybe Milroe call because that receiver was uncovered. And that's great. Okay. But you got to make that pass then. Because if then afterwards everyone's like, oh, that's a heads up play, you know, but and then the Jace McClellan lucky that he batted himself up to him and ran for the first down. But Miami with one of the worst losses you'll see in a while.
That's what they get for wearing those terrible uniforms.
I didn't like the Miami Knights uniform.
That was so, like, some of that stuff is cool, but that was just horrendous. Like, I don't know. That was terrible. Like, the all-black uniforms, they could have did so many cool things with that, and they just chose the ugliest thing ever. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, they were, it was interesting. I saw what they're going for. I could appreciate it, but yeah, I don't think they pulled it off. Either way, I don't know if Miami fans will ever want to see that uniform again.
No.
Just because of what happened.
That has been bad. And the thing is, they've had issues with Georgia Tech many times over a couple of seasons where he thought for sure the Canes are going to win. And Georgia Tech, no matter good, bad, and they find a way to either beat or hang with the Canes like no other. If there's a game that they get up for, it's that Miami game.
Yeah. Didn't they have a bad loss during the Mark Richt years there? I think Georgia Tech beat that shit out of them one time when Mark Richt was there. But yeah, I think that covers it. Unless there's any other games you want to talk about from yesterday.
I think we...
I don't think, yeah, anything of note.
Okay. I guess Colorado got the win.
Yeah, Colorado... Coach Prime said they played like hot garbage.
Hey, they got the win. Yeah. Getting close to eligibility.
Yeah, four wins now. So, you know, four times as many as last year. We mentioned Texas Tech and Baylor as our disappointing teams of the year. You know, Texas Tech won that win, kind of blew out Baylor in Waco, too. You mentioned TCU got blown out by Iowa State. Well, not blown out, but just not in that game, really.
Yeah, that's a team that fell off hard. Mm-hmm. A lot of magic last year, and I didn't expect them to be as good, but they're not. They're just losing to everybody this year.
Yeah, so
the Texas and OU games might get ugly for them.
Yeah, that can be some interesting games. So the rankings now, you know, let's see. Everything pretty much stayed the same. Oklahoma, we mentioned, and they made the big jumps. Louisville Texas made a couple big jumps. Looking forward to next week, some big games. Our Bama boys, they play Arkansas at home. That's a tough game, but, you know, a tricky one after this A&M game. And then before Tennessee, Arkansas, like I said, they're a desperate team now. They've lost four in a row, and they don't want the wheels to fall off. So Alabama can't sleep on them.
No, not at all.
Tough. Yeah.
Tough game. Mm-hmm. We should be fine, but, you know, just want to stay on top of things. Mm-hmm. Not listen to anybody. No rat poison. We should be good.
Of course, next week's main event will be number 8 Oregon at number 7 Washington. Rivalry game. Two, you know, the Pac-12 leaders. Michael Penix Jr., a Heisman candidate. Winner of this one, you know, still got a tough road ahead of him, but it definitely gives the inside track to at least make that Pac-12 title game. Is that when are they? Is that the big noon? Are they doing that, or is that
2:38?
That's good. That's a good.
Pac-12 has some very interesting games next week. You know, of course, that the main eventer, Arizona, Washington State could be interesting. USC, Notre Dame, UCLA at Oregon State. I mean, that's an interesting slate of games. You know, especially that USC. I mean, they're going into South Bend. You know, Irish coming off that tough loss. But, man, if that defense, who knows what that'll look like.
Yeah. And actually, Notre Dame favored at opening line, a 2.5-point favorite. So that's a. Yeah, interesting week. Yeah. Did you mention UCLA going to Oregon State?
Yeah, that'll be.
Yeah, that's now a top 25 matchup. UCLA in the rankings now.
18, 15. Yeah, so it's good. Good week for the Pac-12 final season.
Big other big games, let's see, next week. I just had one. Well, it would have been a matchup of unbeaten ACC teams had Miami just not done the dumbest shit we've seen. Mario Cristobal wins this week's Dumb Motherfucker Award.
Just the arrogance of it. Like, come on, bro. Especially when you've had it happen before.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You've got to be hyper aware of that now. Like, you can't. I know you got coaches and they're here, but on game days, as a head coach, when you don't call plays and Cristobal doesn't, like, that's your job. Like, to be aware of situations like that, to be yelling in your headset at your guys, like, take a knee, victory formation, whatever the hell your code for it is. Like, you've got to be just adamant that that is what is going to happen there in that situation. Miami should be, like I said, they should be heading into Chapel Hill for an unbeaten showdown, a huge game. Instead, now it's a more of a desperation game. Still a huge game, but not huge quite game, as big now.
You lose a second ACC game, you're out of the conference championship, pretty much.
Yeah, no room for error for the Canes now. And North Carolina, big spot for them still, though.
Yeah.
Mention USC, Notre Dame. Let's see, Duke hosts NC State next week. I talked about Missouri has to rebound from in Kentucky. They'll both rebound from their losses. They play in Lexington.
It's kind of that fight for second in the East.
That's a big one. One of those teams, a team like Kentucky could still run the table. One loss and maybe not get into the playoff, but that's, New Year's Six Bowl.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could see both those teams winning the – I mean, they very well – well, Missouri still at Georgia, so, yeah, probably not likely. Texas A&M at Tennessee, that could be interesting.
Tennessee after a bye week, right?
Yeah. See how the Aggies bounce back. But I will say Tennessee's a much better team at home. Like, when they go on the road, they are kind of questionable. But at home, they've been – the last 2 years have been lights out. They had all their stress and losses on the road there. Whether it be last year at Georgia, this year at – and they've held it down. So, we'll see.
Yeah, and that's their passing game hasn't been as prolific as it was last year, but they've found some balance in that offense and running the ball.
Yeah, they're running the ball decently.
That should be an interesting game. Another game that's one of those anything could absolutely happen in the game. Auburn and LSU. It's time for that game. It's in Baton Rouge. You would think maybe that Auburn defense not being as good as they're used to, maybe LSU just might throw it all over them, and they might anyway, but who the hell knows what will happen on the other side of the ball. You would think if there's a cure for your defense struggling, it's the Auburn offense, but who knows?
And vice versa. If Peyton Thorne's had a season, the LSU defense is your best opportunity to put a game together, so who knows?
Yeah, and if Hugh Freeze is this offensive genius as much as everyone says he is, this is the kind of game that he's got to see that tape of whatever is wrong with the LSU defense and exploit it. So that, 6 p.m. ESPN game, when that'll be an interesting one to watch. Other than that, not much going on. We mentioned Bama and Arkansas. That's an 11 a.m. game. Georgia and Vanderbilt, the rare 11 a.m. CBS game. Poor Vanderbilt. Michigan gets Indiana. Ohio State travels to Purdue. Florida State hosts Syracuse. Utah hosts Cal. Penn State hosts Massachusetts. That line opened at 42 points, and I still don't know if that's high enough. Kansas goes into Oklahoma State now. That's interesting.
Yeah.
See if Oklahoma State can keep their momentum from that big win over Kansas State going.
Right.
Louisville follows up their win with a trip to Pitt. Pitt not good this year, but still kind of that's one of those tricky games.
I'm kind of shocked. Pitt actually is like I know they've lost a couple of things, but man, they're not good.
No, yeah, they just do not look good this year at all.
I mean, they lost Vatek. That sums it up right there. Coming out the back, so maybe that'll help them out a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I would think Louisville should win. But you never know.
You would think, especially as well coached as they seem to be now. Hopefully, you would think Brohm gets his guys focused. The records don't show, but that Coastal and App State play on Tuesday this week. A couple of.
Should be a fun one.
It's usually a fun one. Yeah, that one's in Boone this year. The Daniel Holgorsen Bowl on Thursday, that West Virginia travels to Houston.
That it is.
There's a big American matchup on Friday. Tulane travels to Memphis. Both of those teams 4-1 and 1-0 overall in the American Athletic Conference. So that's kind of a big one for that conference right there.
Damn right there.
Colorado plays Stanford, a game they should absolutely win to get to 5 wins.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much it for notable games next week. Oh, wait, here's a big Fun Belt one, another early Saturday game. Georgia Southern at James Madison.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, that's on ESPN2. That's worth keeping on your multi-view if you got YouTube TV there, folks.
The only thing that I don't like about that multi-view is you can't pick which ones you want to look at.
Yeah, that does work. I read something about that, and I think it's what I read was the explanation is so they have servers or whatever that it was very technical, but they host it, and it would just essentially I don't think the technology really exists for people to be able to pick them and then have all of those different combinations from around the country. Right. I don't know.
Some weeks are great and you're for it, and some weeks you're like, damn, I won one from here, one from here. Like the 11 o'clock yesterday was perfect because they had LSU, they had the Red River, and then they had the Ohio State Maryland game all on the same thing. So I was like, this is that. And then they had Mississippi State in the corner. But there was a lot of points scored, so it was somewhat interesting. But those were the three I was definitely excited for in that 11 o'clock window, and they had them all on the same one. So that made my 11 o'clock great.
Yeah, and I wonder if it's something to do with maybe contracts too, because I don't know if the Alabama A&M game was even on a multi-view or.
Yeah. It seems to be a Fox and ESPN thing mainly.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, who knows? It's weird. That should be it. Anything else for college?
No.
Moving on to the NFL. What's going on today? Let's see. I've debated on if I wanted to spend 20 minutes cursing the Ravens, and I don't. I'm over it. It's a dumb, dumb loss to the Steelers in a game which they dominated all game. That offense, the Steelers' offense looked like trash. Their crowd was chanting "Fire Canada," to Matt Canada's offense coordinator. And then the Ravens just gave up an 80-yard drive to lose the game. Dumb decisions all around. I've had my John Harbaugh rants before, but he just makes dumb decisions. And every time, the problem with the Ravens lately, the past few years, is their losses aren't, teams losing in the NFL, you can accept that, okay? Everyone loses. It's fine. But it's not like they just get beat. Okay, that team was better. They just got beat, Or they we gave it our best shot. It's always like these dumb decisions, and like the recap articles you read are always like Ravens shoot themselves in the foot, or this dooms Ravens, Steelers steal a game. Like, and it's so annoying. Like, John Harbaugh late in the second half, 4th and 2 with like 10 seconds ago, instead of trusting, Justin Tucker, the best kicker ever, and taking 3 easy points to go up 10 at halftime, they decide to go for it on 4th and 2 and don't get it. No points. Late in the game, after they get a they recover a fumble on the punt. You know, the Steelers got some momentum. They forced a punt, and then the guy fumbles it, so the Ravens get it back. They get down, and they have, what, third and goal from the 5, and instead of maybe running it twice or running it and then kicking the field goal, you know, taking some more time off the clock, they throw a goal line fade, which is the bane of my existence. I cannot stand a goal line fade, and what, it gets picked off. It was a bad throw. That one was on Lamar, but it just – so dumb stuff and just dumb decisions. It seems like the team doesn't have the fight that they used to have in them. And I've said it once, I'll say it again. I just think, as good as John Harbaugh is a good coach, I can admit that. I think he's overrated. But, you know, like everyone talks about, he's got a Super Bowl. And that was over 10 years ago, and he's only won 2 playoff games since. So I will say this, you know, it wasn't all on him, of course, but, you know, I think the Ravens had like 5-6 drops today. They dropped 2 to 3 potential touchdowns. They dropped 2 passes in the end zone. Receivers had bad games. Dropped another pass that would have been a touchdown. So, yeah, just a bad game overall. Like I was saying, with Harbaugh, I think all good things come to an end sometimes. And just,
yeah,
I think it's time the Ravens just need a new era of leadership. Just play this year out, whatever. Sometimes you just need a fresh coat of paint. There's nothing wrong with the old one. You just need something fresh. And
yeah,
maybe Michigan State can hire John Harbaugh, and him and his brother can fight it out in college. Yeah. Who knows? I'm just tired. These are dumb losses.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in the NFL, let's see. Jacksonville got Buffalo this morning in London.
Yeah.
Ruin
my parlay early. Nothing worse than losing a parlay
before the day even kicks off.
Yeah. Not that.
Yeah. Bills, unfortunate.
That Bills money line, nothing extravagant.
I see where else. Falcons beat Texans. Ho hum. The Lions continue to look good. Beat up on the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Bryce Young. Yeah.
Long year there. But that end of that Texans Falcons game was pretty crazy. Looked like CJ pulled it out. And then Falcons able to go back down the field.
Kick the walk-off field goal to Desmond Ridder, probably his best game as a pro.
It was.
And what do you know? Look at that. Kyle Pitts, 7 receptions, 87 yards. When you actually throw to the guy, good things happen.
Obviously, they listen to our podcast. Hey. We have Kyle Pitts, arguably one of the top tight ends in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. A guy we drafted at, what, number 4 overall? Like, before this game, he had 17 targets all season. That's ridiculous. Yeah. You have to throw the ball to him or trade him, do whatever. Colts beat the Titans. Jonathan Taylor back, signed that extension this week. So I guess fences are mended there.
Yeah.
Dolphins, easy win over the Giants. And speaking of rough times for Alabama quarterbacks, former Alabama quarterbacks, Mac Jones benched again. The Saints just down 34-0. Patriots just look bad.
2 weeks in a row, just.
it's rough on Mac, and he's not playing great either, but he has no help there. That line was getting just pushed around. His receivers cannot create separation. There's nothing.
That is officially the worst NFL starting wide receiver core I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's bad.
I wouldn't want that in my practice.
No, they're not good.
Like, what is this? Like, come on.
Yeah. Going on this late window here, the Eagles, they appear to be about to put this one away against the Rams. The Bengals have found their offense against the Cardinals. Teams tend to do that. Joe Burrow, over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. The Jets are winning the Nathaniel Hackett revenge game right now. Early in the fourth, they're up 8.
Russell Wilson's having a day out there. I think he has like 80 yards passing, a couple picks.
It's rough. And the Chiefs and Vikings, they're playing a good one. The Vikings hanging around with the Chiefs. That one is in Minnesota.
Yeah, Travis Kelce went out there with that injury. And look, and those injuries where you're by yourself and get hurt, those usually don't end well. So,
yeah.
Crazy. I always hate to see that. Because if he's out for the year, I mean, let's hope he's not. But if he is, that changes everything for Kent. Even if they win today, that changes everything for that team because they're a team that doesn't have the best wide receiver core. We saw them week one without Travis Kelce, and it wasn't the prettiest.
If he's out for a significant amount of time, you would think that they're going to give up some draft capital for a receiver trade somewhere. I tell you what I wouldn't like. I mean, I would like him in purple and black better, but if I'm the KC general manager, I'm going to call Denver and see what I can do to get Jerry Jeudy off your hands. He needs to be safe in that situation. They need a guy that can be a number one receiver and a good route runner. And he is, I think him catching passes from Mahomes could be good. I don't know if Denver would want to give him to a division rival, but KC would need to do something to get themselves a top pass catcher.
Kelce's back, so.
Oh, well, there we go. Oh, yep, I see him right there, 87 on the field here. I mean, still, maybe you might want to trade for a better receiver.
Yeah. Just because you see that's a possibility, and you don't want to go multiple games. Because even with Mahomes, you know, you got to have at least one star out there. But, yeah, it looks like Kelce's out there, so that gets a little premature on our end.
Well, speaking of, they just showed a replay where it looked like Justin Jefferson might have tweaked his hammy or something.
Yeah.
That's not good news for Vikings fans at all.
Uh-huh.
Things holding pat. You know, Bills lost. It's the NFL. That kind of a good win for Jacksonville. They kind of needed that one.
And it's one of those games. What's his name? Josh Allen. That's a guy that, if I were a Bills fan, sometimes he's the most frustrating dude in the NFL. Because there's weeks, like when he had that they were going up the field. He kind of threw it in the double coverage toward the end zone, got intercepted, and that kind of iced it a little bit. I mean, but then after they gave up the touchdown, then he came back to cut it to 5. He had a perfect little drive. Mm-hmm. Like some days, you see the hype and why people revere him where he's at. And others, it's like, dude, what are you doing? I don't know. You just a headache. If I'm a fan, I'm always a little worried about where he's at because. When he's off, like sometimes he's just bad still.
That running game of theirs hasn't gotten going like I think a lot of people hoped it would there this year.
And they gave up a plethora of running yards today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good for my team.
Your Cowboys tonight, big game going into. San Francisco or Santa Clara, actually, but playing the San Francisco 49ers. How do you feel about it?
You know, it's one of those games like, I'm just happy right now it's not a playoff one because we've had some rough couple of years to them in the playoffs there. It's been well finished. But, you know, even if we do lose the game, I just want to be able to stay right with them there, go blow to blow with them there, get an idea of, honestly, the best team in the NFC. How do we stack up against them? You know, just see where we're at. You know, our biggest thing, and, of course, we saw a lot last year. We saw with 2 weeks ago in a weird one in the loss to Arizona. Couldn't stop the run to save our lives. Want to see what we do today against Christian McCaffrey. He's having an MVP season so far. You know, can we shut him down at all? or does he run all over us? You know, so we'll see. That's kind of, I just want to hang with him, see what we do. And, you know, the biggest thing for us offensively, I mean, we moved the ball. Gonna have to score touchdowns to beat San Francisco. That defense is great. You get in the red zone, you have to score touchdowns to beat them. Field goal is not going to get it done. They're just that good of a team right now. So we'll see.
Yeah. And then Monday night's matchup is Green Bay and Las Vegas. So ho-hum there.
Terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. You know, NFL moves on. We really don't start seeing a lot of movement till, you know, like mid-November is when things really start.
Yeah, right around Thanksgiving is when you kind of really starts getting serious. And
yeah, really heating up.
Start matter and winning, and teams kind of catch who they're going to be. You got Patrick Mahomes at the far edge.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, a little trick play here on. Okay, oh, nope, they're going to
call the timeout.
Yep. All right, let's see. Major League Baseball playoffs started this week. Wild card rounds were all two-game sweeps.
Not eventful at all.
No, Rangers beat the Rays, Twins beat the Blue Jays, Phillies beat the Marlins, D-backs beat the Brewers. So, you know, a couple upsets in there with the Rangers over the Rays and D-backs over Brewers. Then we had the division series start, and it's a lot of the road teams. I think, what, three of them won yesterday? Yeah, the Astros are the only favorite and home team to win yesterday. The Rangers went into Baltimore and won game one of that series. They're currently
up 10-5 in the seventh right now.
Yeah, you know, so Baltimore's Cinderella kind of years fizzing out. Rangers at, you know, one point in the season, you know, they had the best offense in the league, and you know, they had their ups and downs, but they fought hard for in that AL West against the Astros. And they will play later at 7:00. The Twins and Astros game two there. Phillies shut out the Braves yesterday. First time the Braves has been shut out since May, and the first time they were shut out at home all year. Just a weird block of the Braves and the Phillies in the playoffs. Braves just can't get over it. It's just a weird thing. Spencer Strider, 8-0 against the Phillies in his regular season career. The Braves have won all 8 of the games, obviously. They've never lost when he started against the Phillies. This is now 0-2 in the playoffs for him. Last year was a bad one on his part. He pitched very well yesterday. The Braves offense just got shut down. And what you really don't want to see if you're a Braves fan, because the Phillies used like 7 pitchers in that game. It's like a bullpen game almost. And now you're going against Zach Wheeler and Aaron Nola in the next two games. So tomorrow night, a must-win game if you're the Braves. You have to go in the Philly split.
You don't want to go in the 0-2. Yeah, you don't want to go 0-2 in the Philly at all.
Then the late game last night, the D-backs jumped on the Dodgers. They were up, 6-0 before the Dodgers even got an out. Yeah. Clayton Kershaw didn't even make it out of the first inning.
No.
11-2 final score.
You know, that's kind of been his MO in the playoffs. Kind of falls apart in the playoffs.
So, yeah.
Caught an embarrassing thing himself. So, that'd be interesting to see how the Dodgers regroup there. I mean, I'm assuming they will, but, man, that's a crazy way to start.
Yeah, that's like we said, we got to see how all these home team favorites respond. Like we said, right now, the Orioles not doing great. You know, down 10-5, bottom 7, with now 2 outs. I just see it popped up. So they're down their last 7 outs. They don't want to, you know, they got to claw back here.
Yeah, they don't win today. They may not make it out. They may not see another game in Baltimore. I think that.
The silver lining of that, though, is that's a young team with a lot of stars. They still got guys in the minors that could come up and help them.
Exactly.
you do bring up questions why they didn't get more help in their pitching staff at the deadline, or at least better help. I don't think Jack Flaherty has been good for them at all. You could say the same thing about the Braves. You know, that's their struggle. Although yesterday, again, like I said, Spencer Strider pitched great. Just didn't. Controversial call. That weird catcher's interference call on the replay. It kind of looked like he didn't touch him at all. That gave the Phillies an extra run, but the Braves just didn't take. They had their opportunities. They left a lot of guys on base. As the O's get another out, so they're down their last six outs in this game, trying to avoid going down 0-2. Like I said, Twins and Stros play tonight. The NL teams play their game twos tomorrow. Let's see. Anything from the world of sports you want to hit on that we missed?
I think we pretty much covered everything. You said it best. It's a beautiful time of the year. You know, playoff baseball, deep in college football, NFL starting to heat up. Hockey starts this week for your NHL fans. But I love playoff hockey, the regular season.
Yeah. It's a slog, and you know, I grew up playing defense in the game too. So the new rules and all the weird overtime shootout stuff, ties are okay, guys. It's fine in the regular season to have a tie, get it over with.
Exactly.
I will say, Premier League, little soccer action, huge game today, huge win for my Gunners. Arsenal 1-0 over Manchester City, a late winner. From Gab Martinelli. Huge win for their confidence, too. They were without their best player, Bukayo Saka. Still managed to win. First time they've beat Manchester City in the league since 2016, I believe. It's a huge. Big game. Yeah, huge game over there in England. Still a lot of season left there, though. They've only played eight games out of 38, so. But that does put Arsenal tied at top of the Premier League going into an international break. I do believe that is everything. Like I said, no new trades this week, nothing really. No off the field stuff to really speak of. WNBA finals, the Aces took game one. AJ Wilson's just, you know, huge.
Just a star.
Great player. Yeah, just a star. But yeah, so with that said, Greg, what has been done up real good for you this week?
You know, done up for me real good. Yeah, I'm just going to keep it Alabama related. You know, this whole time I've been a big Jalen Milrow guy from the get-go. And, you know, I was proud of him. You know, I don't know him for anything, but, you know, just some of what he's been through and is just going to roll like that. And the game was on his shoulders and he just handled business. So, for me, that was something big for the week. How about you?
Let's see, me getting some home projects finished and stuff. You know, we you buy a 100-some-year-old house like we did. You got a lot of stuff. So if you can, on the camera, see behind me there, that is a door that we've put in our office now. It used to be when we first moved in here, the only way you could get to the backyard was through the bathrooms, which is really weird to us. So now we have a door in our office that goes out to our new finally finished deck. In our finished yard with, you know, all the plants we want and the fence and all that and our tool shed. Right. So just feels good now. All the projects on my honey-do list are more small stuff, you know. Fix a closet here. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, that just kind of feels good.
For sure. And that's the one thing. So we got an older – well, not as old, but an older house. I think it was built in the 60s. It's always something. But the big or small, it's always something that can get fixed. So,
yeah. I mentioned last week, you know, the HVAC thing, but we got, you know, insurance coming through on that. And there's always something. Yeah, like I said, I think our next one is we want to move one of the bathrooms. It's a 3-bathroom place. We're going to turn one of them into a laundry room.
Oh, okay.
But that won't be too bad of a project. Plumbing's already there, so. But yeah, that does it for us. Good week here for sports. As we said, we are getting into really just a great time of year for sports fans with college and pro football, getting right into the meat of it. Baseball playoffs, NBA and NHL season's about to start. Can't really ask for much more. Thank you once again for listening. Do subscribe and give us some good ratings. Tell your friends who you think would be interested. Tell your rich friends about us. And check out all of the great podcasts on the Alabama Take family of podcasts, like Taking It Down, Alabama Slam. I'm sure Mal will have another good podcast coming out in the Stare Down. Another good Ole Miss win for her. But yeah, and as always, you can check out the alabamatake.com for writings. That's where Blaine and Mal and myself do our picks column every Friday. I think I had a 3-1 weekend, so that's pretty good. Not sure how Blaine and Mal did. I haven't checked, but you can check it out, like I said, on the alabamatake.com. And as always, keep it done up real good yourselves out there. Greg, take it easy, man.
Yes, sir. Me too.